Welcome to the Retail Tech Podcast. My name is Darius Vasefi, the producer and host. And I typically interview the movers and shakers in the retail and e-commerce, online and offline retail. And this interview is being recorded on Clubhouse. And we will take some audience questions after, you know, we have some initial, discussions within us. Today, I am speaking with Melissa Wong, the founder and CEO of Retail Zipline. Did I say that correctly?
That is correct.
Awesome.
I got that right.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for joining me, Melissa. Whenever I think about companies that help retail frontline workers, it's something that actually really touches my mission, because I think typically the people that work in the retail stores are the highest expectations from them and the lowest paid, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
So I'm really happy to see the work that you're doing. So let's start talking about maybe yourself a little bit, and then go into when you started the company.
Sure. So, Darius, I really love you giving your passion about helping to make retail better, starting kind of like with the ground up. So I actually started in retail. So I actually spent, over a decade in retail at one of, the largest specialty brands in North America, focused specifically on, oddly, store communication and store execution. Right. So, and it was really interesting because throughout those 10 years, we had a lot of different brand transformations. So, we were bringing in a new target customer. We were reinventing the brand. We were trying new product assortments. We were experimenting with new marketing. And I will tell you, one of the things that was always consistent through all of these different brand transformations and also different CEOs and brand president leaders was that we would be implementing strategies at headquarters, and we'd walk into the stores. It might be the end of quarter, right? So whether it is setting up new marketing that better represents, the new brand identity, or maybe even selling through over inventory product and merchandising them in a certain way, maybe it's, it's seasonal. Consistently, there was feedback that the stores weren't actually doing the thing. And Darius, one of the things that I love about you saying that the stores have the highest expectation on them and the highest pressure and are getting paid the least, I believe that it wasn't from ill intent that the stores weren't getting the things done. It was that we weren't setting them up for success, right? We weren't creating the conditions for success so that stores knew how to better prioritize, and they didn't know how to manage the fire hose of information that was coming up at them, and how to actually execute to what good looks like. So in sum, after 10 years of hacking together homegrown solutions, looking at what was on the market from a competition standpoint, I left retail to help.
Oops, I lost your voice there a little bit.
Be able to get the jobs done better and easier, right? And make retail less of a grind and really have us in retail focus more on the things that we love, which is bringing the brand experience to life, servicing the customer, implementing new and innovative way of doing things, but without it being so hard.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. And, when I say highest expectations, it's not just from the ops people in the company. It's also from consumers.
Absolutely.
We expect to go to the store and everybody there should be happy and smiling and laughing and joyful. And we have no idea what their life and their world is like.
Totally. And I think, I think you're really bringing home something that we've seen over the past year with COVID, right? Is that consumers are really the one, especially if you've been in retail for a while, which you have, it's like a lot of times consumers are actually the forcing function in bringing innovation to life in retail, right? They're really setting the bar of what their expectations are and how retailers need to deliver. And as we look at, you know, the changing store landscape, I really see, you know, the store becoming kind of a bifurcated place. One, it's a place of experience, having authentic brand experiences, of learning, to your point, of the smiling, of the connection with the brand, right? Store employees should be the best ambassadors of the brand. And on the other side, a lot more retailers, as a result of COVID, are using stores as fulfillment centers, right? So when you talk about, you know, the retail employee having all of this pressure on them from consumers, it's, you know, essentially trickle down from consumers. They're being asked to do a lot of different things that they haven't been asked to do before, like two things versus one, right? And it was hard enough pre-COVID to just focus on customer experience or just focus on merchandising or receiving inventory. Now you're having to juggle a lot more different roles. And I think there needs to be better technology to enable people to be able to manage all of the things and to be able to do it better.
So do you think that things are changing in general in retail, where more and more retailers are actually more open to this type of communication, like robust, real-time, almost communication with the frontline?
Absolutely. We see it in our customer conversations. I see kind of, you know, my co-founder would describe it best, calling it like the decalcification of retail. Like if you've been in the industry for a long time, you know that change is hard. You know that there's a lot of, you know, I did it this way in my past, or, you know, we've been at this brand for 10 to 15 years and I'm resistant to change or decision by committee. And I think COVID's been a forcing function to have people relook at their businesses. Like even if you just look at some of the retailers that had been discussing buy online, pick up in store, you know, some of these conversations have been happening for 10 years and no movement, right? And then COVID happens and then within 2 weeks, teams have things spun up. And, you know, what do they say? Like necessity is the mother of invention. I believe that that's true. And I believe that people have to look at their businesses in new ways. They have to look at new operational models, because I think, you know, what we've seen with COVID is that the customer's expectation for immediacy, also personalization and service, it's increased, right? A lot of people are more people are buying online. So retailers truly do need to deliver on the omnichannel experience, the seamless customer experience that retailers always said that they've had, but never really truly been able to deliver to, at least within the store. So we see those changing tides. We see CEOs like at Hy-Vee talk, you know, investing in communication so that they can talk with their store associates, not only around expectations for how customers should be treated or managing culture within the workplace, but also to enable the employees to feel like they're part of this brand and this family that has meaning, right, and purpose, and to be able to inspire them to show up to their customers in that way. And I think if you've always been a recipient of trickle-down communication through PDF packets or print in store, you feel so removed from what the brand is trying to do. You feel so disempowered that when open communication channels happen and when you're able to get real-time updates from the president or, you know, the head of marketing around why we're doing certain things, all of a sudden you have a lot more of an engaged associate team. You have a lot higher retention, which is really important, you know, during this labor shortage, and you get better results. Like our customers see better execution, about 20 to 30% better than, you know, even some of the other, you know, brands that use some technology for communication and task management.
So do you think that a part of what is going on right now in this kind of a change also has to do with
4:13 p.m.
With the way that the culture of, you know, inside of retailers is changing, whereas, you know, potentially, you know, perhaps in the past, the management, the executive management, thought they knew what they were doing and they didn't really need a lot of input from the frontline teams. And now actually that concept is changing and they appreciate and value that direct feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, online, the A/B testing online has really, you know, digital went first, as we know, with innovation, right? And they really showed that you can see effectiveness in your decision making based off of testing different cohorts. And that's been proven online, that's shown better results, that's made, you know, believers out of skeptics. And I think that now with the stores turn, you know, there is an ability to A/B test in stores now, right? There's an ability to A/B test whether your marketing's working or not, and not guess, did the stores actually put up the marketing, right? Is this truly driving traffic and sales, or is this truly, you know, decreasing, like, traffic? We're able to triangulate data points better. And so in that way, I do think that the culture in retail is changing to be more progressive because online led the way about the potential and possibility that data and insights can do to help the business.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. So it's always good to hear somebody else agrees with me. So...
I love that.
What percentage of retailers do you think are using this type of, like, direct communication technologies right now?
You know, I would have to say, I mean, I think all retailers are using some sort of communication, whether it is a PDF packet with hyperlinks, which we typically sing like a weekly communication packet. I think we've seen a huge shift to retailers in recent conversations, so recent being about a year, being interested in having more what I would call like dialogue, discussion, and debate and a feedback loop up through the organization. I think part of that is also because as you look at COVID and you look at the local rules and regulations that were happening at each level, there needed to be that kind of like discussion between stores and headquarters because headquarters didn't necessarily know all. So if you extend that to what's possible from a merchandising perspective or marketing or event perspective, I think that there's huge potential. In terms of like the digitization of communication within organizations, we're seeing a big shift to of that being a bigger priority because, to be honest, your organization can only move as fast as your communication. So if your communication is lagging or your execution is lagging, it's actually impeding how quickly your organization can move and compete and the results that it can achieve.
What's the typical size of the company that you work with? Is it enterprise? Do you work with any small retailers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this should interest you, actually. So we range the gamut from digital natives. So, for example, Away, the luggage company, I think they have around 7-11 stores, The RealReal, right? Casper, Warby Parker. Our value proposition to these digital natives is essentially like being able to A/B test in real life. And also, from a cultural perspective and people perspective, when you start out, and you open the first store or second store or third store, you're investing a lot in the people and the processes. And then how do you templatize and scale that growth and that tribal knowledge once you start growing from the third store to the 10th store to the 20th to the 30th to the 100th to the 200th? You need to put those foundational pieces in place to ensure that scaling and growth. I think Allbirds is a great example of that. We're doing a store tour with them in their flagship New York store this week. On the other end of the spectrum, we support brands like Gap Inc., right, globally, internationally, like Lululemon, same thing, O'Reilly. So up to the, you know, tens of thousands of stores. And what we're able to do for them is ensure consistent execution across the fleet or consistent execution between cohorts. So, for example, Gap Inc. said with us at NRF, I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago when NRF was in person, you know, with Zipline, they went from about 25 to 30% store execution. So stores actually doing the thing they're being asked to do, to over 90% next day execution. And I see that in calls that I'm getting from like senior legal counsels from Fortune 500 companies saying like, you know, you never want to get a call from legal. And, you know, I called this legal person back and they're like, actually, we love Zipline. It's helping us keep our doors open. It's helping us mitigate risk. It's helping us prevent the spread of COVID between, you know, locations. And that has to do, even though that does have to do with optimization of a marketing campaign in terms of segmentation, I think you can think of the way of like the kind of like the need to localize information and segment stores in a certain way. I think you can think of it kind of similarly. So that's what we bring to a retailer in the enterprise, in the, you know, with the largest store footprint.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking actually about the legal issues and that communication and, you know, keeping people informed in real time is probably going to be a really key thing for companies.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's not just about the execution. Like I see Ron talks about like the importance of like culture, right? And to, especially now as we look at the labor shortage, you need to, the best way that you can represent a brand is to have people really feel what the brand is about and to experience it. And you have to give people the communication and the coaching, and we have to tell them what good looks like and how they're making a difference in the brand strategies, right? How you're making a difference in the greater good. That's just critical to a brand success. And as we look at, you know, younger shoppers that are more mission driven in distributing their share of wallet or, you know, share of heart, they're going to go to the brands that represent it in the best way. And the employee base is the one that's going to represent it the best. It's three-dimensional, it's authentic, it's experiential. Websites really can only go so far in being, you know, designed well.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and something that I'm also working on, right, you know, myself in the company that, you know, we have, is the bringing the mission to the employees, not just for customers. And that's, I think, it can definitely help build a more cohesive and you know, more effective team. So
totally.
Definitely agree with that. Now, you raised a new round of funding this year, correct? Was it like a few months ago?
Yes. We closed, I think, at the beginning of the year. Time
flies.
Time is busy this year, right? hopefully it's not just me. But earlier this year we closed a round with Fifth Wall, who has a thesis around the built world. Right. And, you know, one of the reasons that we went with Fifth Wall is because we are reimagining what's possible in the built world, and we're doing it through the employees. Right. We're giving them, and we're enabling brands to, you know, execute their strategies through their people in a way that's meaningful for people and in a way that they're able to see better results.
Yeah, I've heard of Fifth Wall. They are probably one of the newer investors in the space, but they've definitely, come into the news. And I'm not like really that familiar with them yet. I should probably be, because we're also looking at raising money, but not from, I mean, we're looking at a pre-seed right now, so they're probably too far down the road for us. But I'm really interested to hear of your thoughts about the funding environment, and, you know, I guess the dynamics these days for retail tech companies. Is it, do you feel like it's getting easier? Is it harder? Or what are your thoughts?
Oh, that's an interesting question. So I will put, you know, to be really candid, I think there's always been skepticism. You know, I mean, you've been in retail long enough. People have always said that brick and mortar is dying, right? For years. And then it came back more, you know, stronger. So like the Bonobos founder was like, I'm never going to open a store. And then people that are digital natives find out that the most predictable way to scale your revenue is actually opening a storefront, particularly because it reduces cost in terms of returns. And there's an online halo that surrounds a store from a revenue perspective. So it's, you know, we repeatedly see people beginning to open brick and mortar. I was just talking actually with an investor earlier this morning around what he's been seeing in this space. And he's like, yes, absolutely. All of these, you know, digital natives are beginning to invest in opening store footprints because that's how they're going to scale the revenue. I think that the perception of retail through COVID was not the strongest. So I think it was harder for retail tech to get investments unless COVID was a tailwind for them. For us, you know, communication, I think we had really great customers that love us, and we've had really great results. So it was easier, but I think retail in general from the fundraising perspective is sometimes harder than the hottest thing in the valley. Maybe it's not like the, you know, most popular thing to say, but it's definitely what I personally experienced.
Yeah, I think that definitely, you know, resonates well with me. I mean, I completely agree with you. If I had a dollar for every time some analyst or newspaper or some reporter said that retail is dead and the shopping malls are dead, I would not need funding right now. So, and this actually is a side topic, but I'm reading a really interesting book right now. It's called Skin in the Game. I don't know if you've read it. It's by Nassim Nicholas Taleb, one of my favorite authors. And he talks about this specific thing that, you know, people say a lot of things without having the skin in the game. So anyway, but I mean, for an industry that's dead, I think we're doing pretty good. And we are actually growing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think it's kind of like the industry's secret is that there will be a very strong presence for store footprints, because to get to customers' doors faster, right? Like, you see dark stores, you see a lot of like hybrid operational models happening, you see GoPuff acquiring a BevMo. I think there's going to be a retail renaissance where the location is used as a completely hybrid building, right, and multi-purpose, and the retailers that figure out how to ensure that their store teams are able to deliver on multiple things, I think those are the retailers that are going to win.
Right.
I think it's just, we haven't had this much, you know, we've had operational complexity before within retail, but this is really like the time, I guess, time to shine, to figure it out, because you can't just throw more payroll at it. You actually have to invest in better technology to get the result that you want. So, yeah. I mean, I would add one other point too, if there are others that are listening to this conversation and are fundraising for retail. I think one of the things that worked the best for us too is we've always really leaned on really happy customers, right? We want them to be successful. We've invested in their success. And what I've learned through the fundraising process is that if you are maniacal on ensuring your customer success, like your success follows. So if there's anyone out there that's fundraising, that's kind of the tip I would give. Focus more on your customers than on like the valley or the fundraise process.
That is such an important and, you know, valuable point. Now, just one clarification. When you say customers, who do you specifically mean?
So for us, our customers are, I mean, like brands that we support, right? So it goes for us, it's like we have specialty retail, we have grocery, we have convenience store like Quick Trip and Speedway. Like, so oddly, this will make you laugh maybe, we actually have like a cement company also. Because they came to us and said, like, we have the same problems as retail. There's too much communication in too many different places. Our, you know, contractors in the field, they don't have a line of sight into what their priorities are or what's happening, right? And they can't keep track of all the things they need to do. Can you help us? Like, we also, you know, and I'm like, well, not really retail. But actually what's interesting is that they've turned out to... It's turned that, you know, we were like, okay, we'll try and see, can't promise anything. And it's actually worked out really well. So, in that way, I think, you know, it's a little bit, you know, communication and I guess I would say like work optimization is a lot more flexible than, you know, originally thought when I left to build the company.
Okay. So I think maybe so I'll say the question one. So that was very important. But what I was thinking is, do you mean the management of the retail companies or the actual frontline staff? Who is your who do you think of as the top customer?
So that's an interesting question. And for us, the reason that I pause is that we actually think of the full stack as our customer, right? So one of our VCs says that we have empathetic design, right? And that's because we understand what store employees are doing and what they're facing. We design in a way that we know helps support interruption-driven work, right? Which retail definitely is. We have a way to reach out to the district managers, the regional directors, the zone vice presidents, and give them information in a way that's super easy to digest because we know that they're always driving around on the road. We know that they're email primary and they need to see bright spots and opportunities in the stores they manage, whether it's, you know, 10 to 15 stores as a DM or 250 stores as a zone vice president. We make it easy for IT in the way that we set up and implement. So I think like Sephora said, maybe we're one of the, you know, smoothest rollouts that they've seen. And then from a store ops perspective, we've actually gotten a lot of people promoted because they're able to, the stores are actually doing the things and the strategies that they're implementing. So I guess that's why like a pause when you ask like, who is our customer? Because it came from the retail ecosystem, I understand the pain points of all of the different constituents that drive an aligned organization, and we really focus on meeting each user where they're at. So, you know, store ops is typically like what you would consider a buyer, but we believe the effectiveness and why Retail Zipline works is because we're not just focused on one primary audience within the retail stack, but we're really enabling everyone's jobs within the org, and we're making it easier for everyone.
Yeah, that's some, you know, kind of a like almost like a philosophical question for myself as I think mm-hmm. about who are our customers. And I think for you, as you describe more, it seems like, you know, no matter how helpful the, you know, and useful and user friendly the tool is for the managers, if it's not good for the users, the final users, it's not going to be successful.
Yeah, you have to, I mean, in retail, you have to have a tool that's intuitive and easy to use and that people like using. You can't force someone to use technology, right? That's just not sustainable. That turnover is high. People's jobs are hard. You want to make using technology be like relief. Like, someone finally gets me,
right?
Finally, like, this helps me do my job better. If you don't get that level of reaction from a user, that means that you have work to do. I mean, we always have work to do, right? But I mean, that's what the end goal that you should want to achieve at every level of the organization.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. So I'm going to do a quick reset. And then, you know, if anybody has questions, please raise your hand. So I am speaking with Melissa Wong, CEO of Retail Zipline. And this is a part of the Retail Tech Club, which you can see at the top of the above the room name. If you want to get notified about other rooms that we do, I typically do at least one interview a week, and it's all about retail, movers and shakers in retail. So always looking to find new cool technologies and tech, you know, and learn more about what's going on. So I was really interested when you mentioned this A/B testing with the frontline staff. Again, you know, I'm going back in our conversation. And A/B testing, of course, is a big part of growing, you know, companies, you know, online. Can you maybe go back into that topic and maybe give me some examples of how that's actually done?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a lot of times within retail, especially you're transforming your brand, you're trying to see what's working or not working, you'll invest in a marketing campaign. Oh, actually, this used to happen all of the time. In my old life, it's like there'd be a summer, you know, a promo on winter jackets, and we're like, the blue signs aren't working. Like, let's, you know, work with the production. Let's like redesign it. You know, it's like you're, you know, actually, I'll you know, be more specific. So it's like, you know, in the holiday, you plan for this promo, you have the marketing signage. There's a feeling like the marketing isn't working, you know, the medium or small square designs aren't designed well enough, or the messaging isn't clear enough. And so you get, you know, everyone hustles, they're scrambling, you get new signs, and you send it out to stores, you tell them to put it up immediately, and then the sales go down, right? And you're like, okay, you know, you assume it's because the marketing didn't work, right? But a lot of times what we found is stores are just trying to keep their heads above the water and trying to figure out, you know, what they need to do every day. And a lot of times stores don't actually put up the sign, right? And it's not because of ill intent, or, you know, they don't want to do it. A lot of times it's because there's too much information in too many different places, and they just like don't know, there's no good way to organize their work. So with Zipline, you can send the message out, you can show what good looks like, it's very media rich, right? We track, we remind people on the days that they need to put up, and you know, things if the marketing is late and isn't received. You can put a note and say like didn't receive the marketing. We can also actually see all of the comments. Maybe it's, you know, a result of a distribution error from like one of the printing press, and then you're able to triangulate if a store did a thing with the result that you're trying to achieve. And you know, to give you some perspective, the industry average for store execution is only 29%. That means if you send something out, only 29% of your stores are actually doing the thing. And like, you don't even know which store did it or not. So this way, you know, in terms of A/B testing in real life, you're actually able to see better cause and effect. You can actually take a pilot group and test marketing. You know that they put it up. You know that they received the inventory. You know that they changed the visual merchandising displays. And you can see maybe they lingered there longer. Like, you know, combine it with other data streams. Maybe they stayed in that merchandising area longer. Maybe there's higher sell-through for add-on items, or maybe it doesn't work at all. Maybe it actually, you know, or maybe they try it on in the fitting room longer. There are a lot of different pieces that you can connect, but the first one is actually knowing, like, did the store actually do the thing first?
Okay, that's great. Well, I invited my good friend Ron up. I don't know if you know Ron, but
yay,
he...
He's the best.
I
totally.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Okay, awesome. So I'm the newcomer in the room then. That's fine.
but we're also great friends.
Awesome. So yeah, I mean, Ron, this is also something that you are pretty passionate about. And, you know, so I definitely wanted to get your thoughts about using technology for, you know, store making, you know, people happier working in stores.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thank you, Darius, and I was really happy to see Melissa featured here because, you know, we are experiencing in retail, you know, that a time when the employee experience should be its absolute best. This is an employee market that can choose to work for whatever brand they choose to work for, however long they want to. And this kind of idea of creating the best in class possible employee experience from the minute, you know, that they apply for the job, you know, potentially this kind of new concepts around how we interview, how we hire, how we onboard, you know, they're all technology based. And with this idea though, that it's incredibly human centric. And then that experience of hiring, onboarding, and then their work in any retail brand has to be fully supported with all the data, all the information that they need in the easiest possible format, which in most cases is their mobile phone. And I think we just have to recognize, all of us that work in this industry, that it will be always human-centric, but tech-enabled in everything that we do. And we have to find the best possible solutions in technology. And as a customer of, you know, what Melissa does and Zipline through leading Intermix, I know the power of it. And what she had said around, you know, this is not just for store sales associates. You know, as the vice president of stores, I use Zipline like every day. What's going to stores? Who's reading it? Who's not? What are they executing? How are you managing content going through? So I was using it, all field leadership, the headquarters teams, store operations, and then everyone in stores. And when we are aligned, or if I can record a quick video message that would say, good morning, it's the last Saturday of the month, I hope you have a fantastic day, and send it through Zipline and know that the entire field would see that, that is the best possible solution to that employee morale that then improves retention and that we're having today in the industry and will continue to have. So I'm such a proponent of this.
Awesome. That's, you know, I think it's actually really interesting that you were a customer also. So that's even more,
absolutely,
even more, you know, interesting for me. I didn't know that. So
yeah, all of Gap Inc. Uses Retail Zipline, and you know, for all kinds of different purposes and strategies. As the smallest part of Gap Inc. or prior Gap Inc., I probably used it more intently in a more personal way. But as you scale into an Old Navy size brand, it becomes even more important. Like that alignment between hundreds of stores and thousands of people is really critical to great execution, exactly what Melissa was describing earlier.
That's great. Thank you so much. So I'm really interested to hear from both of you. What do you think is after this? So we have taken the stores right now. We're really adding a lot of technology in the stores, and you know, improving communication. What do you think is the next major, I guess, paradigm shift in how stores operate and how we use like human beings even in the store? It probably is a tough question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Ron, do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
You go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, this is, I guess, more from a tech perspective than like, you know, more with a tech lens and retail lens, but I think there's now the opportunity to enable people to be their best selves. And I think in a retail environment, it can be hard because sometimes you're only as good as your manager, right? And sometimes the managers aren't great and you don't necessarily get a choice. But I think with better data, you know, similar to how Instagram, you know, I have a daughter and it just like relentlessly targets me with, you know, clothes and things that I didn't even know existed for my daughter. I think that there is a way for technology to look at cohorts of store teams, managers, individuals based off of role, based off of their capability, and enable them to do just a little bit better, right? Whether it is speaking, you know, being more educated about the brand, whether it's making smarter, you know, merchandising decisions. I think that technology has, will enable retailers to optimize the ability and increase kind of like the business acumen and brand connection, employee by employee, and meet them where they're at.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Melissa, on it. And it's kind of, again, you become an employer of choice when you have all of the resources and technology available to the teams. And while you may say some of the tasks can be completed in a more automated way, or different ways to use technology have changed what it looks like to work in retail today, and that is very much true. But that conversation of that you have standing in front of the customer and that level of engagement, that you are fully informed from a like product knowledge or promotion or whatever is important to your brand, and then you can articulate that live in person to a customer in the store, that is an exceptional experience that will get a great NPS score, that builds your business, that probably results in a conversion, that probably results in a client acquisition live in the moment, that probably becomes omni. You know, there's so much benefit to highly engaged and informed store teams. And I think we can't ignore the fact that it still has to be highly human all the time.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's that idea of data and the better utilization of data, it really actually makes, you know, I wasn't like, I was maybe thinking about something more drastic, but as I think about it, you can actually make the retail experience 10x better, with better usage of data.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Another probably crazy idea is that, would it be possible that, you know, anytime in the future, the tools that retailers use in the store be actually like a recruiting, you know, benefit? Like, you know, saying, you know, come work for me. We use Zipline and you can talk directly to the CEO. Where else can you get that? That would be really interesting, I think, for me.
So Tom's Shoes is a customer of ours, and this is like pre-COVID, but that's one of the things that Elliot said. He's like, people come in and they're, you know, they see the tools that we get to use to work, and it makes it easier for them, and it's made hiring, it's been a competitive advantage for hiring. We believe that too. We're actually about to embark on a study around that. But yeah, I mean, if you have your choice, who wants to work with, like, you know, spend 15 hours paper shuffling and getting, you know, paper cuts buried underneath this mountain of like chaos? If your employer invests in technology to make your job easier, it's like a no brainer, especially if you're getting paid the same amount, right? So.
Yeah, I think sorry, go ahead, Ron.
No, I agree. I think every brand has to find those recruiting opportunities that every hiring manager can speak to. And I think great candidates would say, hey, what technology do you have that makes sure I can be my best at work? Oh, these are the tools that we use. So I actually think we have to educate the candidate to ask, but we also have to offer it up of, here's how this will impact your experience as a brand, as an employee, and kind of talk about what we use. And it's to answer your question, Darius, I think it's a huge recruiting channel.
Yeah, I think it could be.
Recruiting has become more tech-enabled, too. All of it is kind of moving us in the same direction.
Yeah, definitely. I think if we need to get better, both, like you said, in educating the staff, as well as as retailers to promote this and actually use it to show how it actually can make your life easier working here. So that's an interesting point. So I'm gonna let's see. Oh, okay. I guess we had somebody that wanted to ask a question, but he left. So, well, I know, Melissa, you're extremely busy, and Ron as well. So, I don't want to take up too much of your time. This is such an important topic. And as I said, I feel like really passionate about the experience of, frontline workers in the store. So I'm really happy to see that you are devoting your life to it, at least for the time being. This is really, really, really great to hear. And thank you for really sharing your time with me. Any final thoughts as far as what you want the audience to know about Zipline, or are you hiring? I'm sure you're always hiring.
Definitely hiring. People with a passion for helping, right, from engineers changing people's lives to customer success. So please do visit us. Ron, it's great, sharing this podcast with you. So thank you for joining. And Darius,
thank you for
having me.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. And I'm really passionate about this idea of the employee experience, whether that's kind of internal of how we take pride in working in retail to the tools that are provided to those, because they go hand in hand. If you're going to be proud to work in this industry, you also have to be proud to work for the companies that are providing the right resources and tools to be your best at work. They go together. And I love what Melissa does, and I think it's part of these components of best-in-class retail. So thank you, Darius, and so nice to see you, Melissa.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, one more quick question. Are you going to be at the NRF? Are you planning to be there?
Yes, we are. So
okay.
We'll definitely be there. Would love to have you stop by if you'll be there. We'll be in person, so it'll be great to see people again.
I know. I'm taking a poll of who is actually going to be at the NRF. So that's good to hear. And Ron, of course, I'm sure it's in his neighborhood. So
it's in my backyard.
Awesome.
Maybe on stage if someone can make that happen.
I'm sure you will be.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on up. I'll email you after.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Melissa and Ron, and everybody that listened. I hope you have a wonderful evening or morning, wherever you are. Take care.
Thanks so much, Darius.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.